This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Melissa, Ibrahim and Julian this morning. Yesterday, the Urban Wellbeing, Housing and Local Government Ministry has announced the introduction of an initiative that enables property developers to give out loans to buyers at an interest rate of between 12 and 18%. Now, the Minister, Tan Sri Noor Omar, he said that this was intended to assist Malaysians who are unable to get a full housing loan from banks. Now, we read this news with some concern, and I thought it's best to get property experts on the line to kind of tap what they think of this new proposal. We have joining us on the line Siva Shankar, Head of Investments at Axis REIT Managers. Good morning, Siva. Now, tell us what you thought of the proposal by the Minister.
Hello, good morning. Thank you very much. Well, I read that article with a bit of mixed feelings as well, just like you. And I'm inclined to think that perhaps this may not be a good thing after all. My opinion is that developers should develop and banks should lend the money. And everybody has a role to play in the big economic cycle. And I think that when you start fusing roles of different people into different streams, then I think it will inevitably lead to undesirable results.
What kind of undesirable results are you referring to here, Siva?
Well, first of all, I think before you empower developers to give loans to people who don't qualify for loans from the banks, before you empower the developers to give the loan, I think we should try and understand why those people are not getting loans from the banks in the first place. Rather than allow the developers to give a loan to a buyer in an attempt to try and sell the houses, I think it would be better if we sort of relaxed our lending laws a little bit. It's bad news all around if 50% of people who are trying to apply for a loan cannot get a housing loan. Right. Something's either wrong with the way we are lending money, or something's wrong with the economy, the earning power of Malaysians in general. Our income to debt ratio is an all-time high of 89%. That's very scary. That's a very scary debt level. And my developer friends and my estate agent friends all tell me that every time they try and sell a property, somebody says, yes, I would like to buy it, but then eventually back off because they cannot get a loan. The car dealers are saying the same thing. So something's wrong here when so many people cannot get a loan.
You're right. Yes, they're definitely good points. I mean, there are big issues to be addressed with this proposal. Thank you for speaking with us. That was Siva Shankar, Head of Investments at Axis REIT Managers. I want to touch on a point that he raised about creditworthiness. Who are these people who cannot get a loan that may be looking at property developers as another avenue for funding a house purchase?
Yeah, I think this is a time when we really need to say that buyers beware would not be a good policy as far as this is concerned, because the difference between and this is actually granted under the Money Lenders Act and the Pawn Brokers Act, which is absolutely ridiculous, where interest rates go up to 18-20% a year. And the reason why you cannot say buyers beware in this case is because the capital amount is so much bigger than what the Arlongs lend you, right?
Right.
You're buying a property.
Yeah,
you're not
huge.
You're not borrowing a few thousand bucks here and there to go to the casino. And you're not pawning your gold bracelet, you're buying a property.
Can we get back to basics? So this doesn't fall under the purview of Bank Negara, right? This is a non-banking transaction. It's a non-bank loan.
Yeah, it is a non-bank loan. It is to be regulated under the Money Lenders Act 1951 and Pawnbrokers Act 1972, as mentioned by Julian. Yep. It is being regulated by the Urban Wellbeing, Housing and Local Government Minister or Ministry, and it therefore doesn't fall under the direct purview of the FSA or the Financial Services Act and Bhanegara. So therefore, it does provide that financial systemic risk that the country faces.
If you can't afford to get a banking, if you can't afford to get a loan from a bank to purchase a house, should you be purchasing a house?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, right? Because if you can't get loans to purchase the house, is it because of your own credit worthiness or is it because houses are just damn too expensive, right? I think it's not about making credit available for borrowers. It's about reducing the cost of houses.
So I'm just going to ask the question, is this proposal to the benefit of property developers and to the detriment of house buyers?
It could be. You really have to question it. And I think that you have to look at income policies. Just as with retirement sufficiency, right? Income policy plays a very big role in deciding whether people can afford their properties as well. And the government can have a gamut of creative policies to enable this affordability to take place. Right now, it is not about throwing debt to people's affordability.
So this could be a wish list for the budget 2017, right? To make affordable housing cheaper. But the biggest problem...
How do
for
you do
owning,
that, though?
Yeah. So the intention may be noble. This is a noble intention, if we can argue that way. But the method might be problematic. So if you look at the Selangor Dredging housing scheme, right? The biggest problem of owning a house is that very high deposit structure. So the Selangor Dredging policy means that you rent for the term, I think 3 years, for you to pay that rent. Basically, that rent accumulates to the down payment. Once you reach that 3 years period or 3 or 4 years period, whatever the period is, then it's considered that you've paid your down payment. Then you can take your housing loan. So in this method, you already secure the house, you already paid for the deposit, and now it's just about securing loan. Maybe this method is better than the option that Tan Sri Noh presented yesterday.
Could this be a big enough problem that it could pose a significant risk to the economy, as we saw with the subprime crisis, with the housing bubble? Could this be a big enough problem that we have to worry about? Or could do property developers not have that much capital to lend out in the first place, not like banks?
Yeah, that remains to be seen, because this is, at this point in time, just a proposal, and the efforts and the initiatives of the property companies have not taken place yet. But it is quite dangerous. It has that potential of developing into a kind of time bomb.
Okay, well, let's keep an eye on this and update you on any developments from this proposal by the ministry.
By the way, actually, Siva Shankar said something else. He thinks that the definition of affordable housing needs to be streamlined. At the moment, it's very confusing. Affordable housing prices range from 300,000 ringgit to 600,000 ringgit. So it becomes very confusing for developers, for banks and for the buyers as to how to do their business. What to build and what to sell to the sector. So this is another point that is, I guess, very pertinent.
7:54 right now, and moving on to the Energy Commission. They have reiterated that competitive pricing is still the rule of the game when it comes to awarding new power plant projects in Malaysia. Now, the EC has come under a lot of scrutiny in the last few days, especially after the TADMAX Resource Direct Negotiation Award, and also the fact that SIPP was in the news recently following the award of Project 4A.
I think what the Energy Commission is saying is really unacceptable and quite lame, actually, because what they're saying is that...
Call a spade a spade.
Yeah, actually, the competitive process is still preferred unless the government says otherwise. I mean, why is the government saying otherwise? That is the question, right? Yeah. Why is that? We haven't really got a really good reason for that.
I would like to quote the Edge Financial Daily report on this. So they quoted the Energy Commission, Dato Abdul Razak Abdul Majid, saying that the TADMAX award was the government's decision on competitive pricing, that this is another form of government procurement, and that it was in line with procurement and awarding standards. Now, do we have... I mean, essentially, they're saying, oh, this was all done above board. Don't worry, even though it was direct negotiations, this is just one of our strategies.
Yeah.
So we're just supposed to take their word for it?
That's the idea, right? Because Dato' Raza, by the way, Dato' Raza is the Energy Commission chairman. He says that, you know, pricing is still competitive, but, you know, direct negotiation is basis if the government's decision on it.
Yeah.
So we have to take the government's word for it. We have to take the Energy Commission's word for
it. And the problem is, at the moment, there is a trust deficit. We can't deny that. There is a trust deficit between the government and the people. So statements like this don't help when you say, yeah, don't worry, trust us. We know what we're doing.
To give credit to the Energy Commission, they say that they are setting stringent requirements on the appointed companies. They're making sure that competitive pricing and supply is not compromised. But if this is the case, then why not disclose, you know, the companies that are bidding for it? Why go for direct awarding for these companies if you so comfortably rely on your stringent requirements?
There is an easier way to set conditions. You just impose some kind of open bidding for tariff prices. I think that's a much easier way than to manage them, to micromanage the situation.
So I said this yesterday, right? It's for the benefit of the Energy Commission to give, you know, to not rely on direct negotiation, because it opens them for scrutiny and direct attacks. So if they make it open, then the arguments against them can be removed. So it is in the best interest for the Energy Commission to go forward and have open bidding.
Meanwhile, Khazanah is trying to sell about 1.5% of what they own in Tenaga Nasional. They still own a big chunk of Tenaga Nasional, and in fact, a big chunk of a lot of the other GLCs. And I think that this is a step forward to actually make Tenaga more accountable and more competitive. Right now, they are stuck between a rock and a hard place because they have got to report to the government, and now they have to report to investors. They also have to report to their own customers, consumers like us. I think that the more the government is not involved in Tenaga, the better it would be.
It's 7:58 right now. It is Friday. We're coming up to the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, the Breakfast Grill is going to be part of our Unity series running from Between Merdeka to Malaysia Day. And today, Ibrahim, you're going to be speaking to a panel of civil society activists about the importance of empowering youth for the future of Malaysia. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.